But the roofs are both through there.
No, the roofs.
That was the famous quote of the railroad before grandpa's down the whole piece of paper.
Too much.
It's fine.
Right. And I think your day was just pots and pans.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's remember where we were. I think we're just finishing up some of the Shakta Vatarya on Daf Beis and Beis to Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we asked what exactly is the chash that the Rabbanim were talking about funny nechta. Right? Yeah, after all, if Robi Kienheim and Stan Safri Dini Migmar Gmiri, so why is it Rabbanim Huda Atzrach? And here we saw fundamental machlokas between Rashi and most of the other Rishonim who spoke about this. Maybe we mentioned Rashi versus Tosfos and the Ritva, and whether the chash that they really think was Shalom L'Shma is a real chash of Shalom L'Shma, or the chash is just for La'az or Libo Nokfo, that they'll spread rumors, they'll prevent her from getting a shidduch. And what's peculiar is that, as Tosfos points out, there's a mafurish gemara that seems to say like Tosfos against Rashi. And of Hayim and Aleph, the gemara says, if the Baal brings a get from you, the Yami doesn't say funny nechton, funny nechton. Why? What reason? Time my Amar Abanan Sarek, Lomar Fanayat Banayat, and also Bela Ma'ar Pasle, Hashem, Min, Kat Nagli, Yadim, Ruik, Amar Ale. Because the only reason Chazal said you can say Fanay Nechtam, Fanay Nechtam is because they're afraid the Baal might come and be Ma'ar. And up here, if the Baal himself delivers the get, then obviously you won't be Ma'ar. So this works very well if the problem is laws, spreading rumors, then if the Baal himself brings the get, he's not going to spread rumors. He himself brought the get. Why would he? He obviously decided wholeheartedly to be Megarish. Why would he change his mind and start spreading rumors? However, according to Rashi, there were mamish choshish that he found someone else with the same name and took the get from him. So it doesn't matter if he sent a shliach or he brought it himself. Like, maybe he's more likely Ma'arer if he sent a shliach. Maybe it's awkward for him to be Ma'arer if he brought it himself. But it's equally likely to be puzzle. If the problem is that it's puzzle, that it's really puzzle, then it's equally likely to be puzzle if he brought it himself or he said it with someone else. And why does the Gemara say? The only problem is that maybe he'll be Ma'arer. So here we have Rashi. What's the chash? Ein koshin l'psol el rak l'maaz. The Gemara Daf Hei Amud Aleph says explicitly both its formulation. What's the reason? Maybe the Baal will come be Ma'arer, and in the din, that if the Baal himself comes, there's no problem, which seems to prove, like Tosos, which is almost older Shon of Yud Tosos, against Rashi. So Rashi is here in a little bit of trouble. how do you defend Rashi from the from that sugya on Daf Hei Amud Aleph? So here, there's just two approaches. In terms of what this basic Tikkun of L'Shma is all about. One is found in the Me'iri. The Me'iri on the Mishnah, when he, you know, on the Mishnah, he discusses all the basic ideas. He doesn't wait to get to them in the Gemara. He says, like Rashi, Says we're only worried that he might have gotten it from from someone else, like Rashi says. Yeah, he says the answer. Pamishu mischarit. Sometimes he'll regret sending the get. Yeah, the assumption is psychologically good psychological assumption. He brings the get himself, he won't regret it because he had finality, he had closure. If he sends the get from the Sayyam, he may change his mind and regret it. And if so, what? The choker miuchal lifsolz a get, and he wonders if maybe the get is possible. Kadesh yubez din iskake. In order for Bezdin to take her out of the second house and give her back to him. He might go to Avaki to check, like, is there any problem to get? And he'll tell the Avaki what happened. He'll discover, to his surprise, the get rid of Sholoshma is not valid. He makes some sort of compromise position, says the Iri. In terms of how to defend the Rashi, from the Gemara on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, which said the problem is only the error, so it says that Meiri, he makes some sort of compromise, and he says the problem, the chashash, is not that we stam think it's possible. We're not worried that stam is possible. The chashash is not that Laz will come and lie and say that it's possible. We're not choshish for lies. The chashash is, he makes some in between formulation, choshishim shema. Yavo Habal V'Arer Bemis, right? Maybe you'll come and give an error emes. That's what we're choshish for. We're choshish for an error emes. Not for the truth in and of itself. If we're choshish for the truth in and of itself, then the Gemara Dafei wouldn't make sense. Then who cares whether the Baal brought it or whether he sent a shliach? Either way, the truth in and of itself is that it might be possible, but it's not that we're choshish for laws, because apparently they're not worried about lies. Rather, we're choshesh that there'll be an error emes. This is a very, it's a very big chiddush, this Meiri, because mele, if we're only choshesh for sheker, then I understand, we're only choshesh for sheker if someone says it. Someone doesn't say the sheker, it hasn't hurt anyone. If we're choshesh for error emes, we're really choshesh, he found someone else with the same name and put the shtar on him, then why are we only worried if he comes and tells us about it? We should be worried even if he doesn't come and tell us about it. So this is a big chiddush. I think the reason why no one else said this is because it's a tremendous chiddush philosophically. I mean, if you ask, what are we worried about? So what? So according to Rashi, we're worried about the Aveira, right? We're worried about the Aveira. You're a chait. We're worried Sahtaka, someone might do a big Aveira. She might remarry with an improper get. According to Tosfos, we're only worried about about the social implications of false rumors. Okay, since when do we care about false rumors or false anyway? The answer is no, false rumors are bad. They make a difference. They hurt her, they hurt society, etc. For the Meiri, it seems, we're not worried about false rumors. We're not worried about falsehood, only truth. But we're not worried about the Avira in and of itself, Al Tziras Chet. Apparently, Al Tziras Chet, since the odds are slim, right? You know, what are the odds he found someone with the same name? 1%? We're not worried about the 1% Yiras Chet. But we're worried about, and we're not worried about rumors. We don't think rumors will have terribly much an effect on anyone. We don't think anyone will listen to rumors. After all, I don't know, you ever know friends who underwent a contested divorce? All I know is when one of them tells me stories, I don't believe a word they say. You know, no one's going to listen to this guy with his rumors. What are we worried about? We're worried about the fact that she will be hurt. Not by false rumors. We don't seem to be hurt by false rumors. We're worried about that she'll be hurt by the fact that her life is messed up when this husband comes with a true taina to passel her get. So we're worried about her being hurt by a true soul in the get if it's revealed. That seems to be what we're worried about. Unless, you know, in which case the Meiri saying a tremendous chiddush. What's this chiddush? The odds are so small that we're not worried about the Aveira. We're not worried about the fact she might be doing an Aveira. She might be violating the Isser of Eishes Ish, and her new husband also would be violating the Isser. We're not worried about the Aveira because the odds are slim.
but we're worried about the fact that she could get messed up later by this. Apparently, we're more worried about the effects, sort of, Beit Adam L'Chaveiro on her, than we are about the Aveira in and of itself, which is an interesting finish philosophically. Tosos doesn't have to say that. Tosos just says, there's no way that it's true. We're only worried about falsehood. Rashi didn't say that himself here. Rashi said, no, we're worried about the Aveira. The Meiri thinks, no, we're not worried about the Aveira. As long as no one says anything, don't ask, don't tell, it doesn't bother us. We're only worried he might come and tell us. Which is an interesting Kiddush, that apparently the effects of her being messed up by revealing the truth worry us more than the truth itself that someone might be doing and Aveira. You know, sort of, if no one knows about the Aveira, Hashem will forgive us because we're based on a very strong rope. But if people know about the Aveira and it messes people up, then we're more worried about it. Okay, that's an interesting Kiddush.
That's totally understandable. Anytime you have a chazak or a rove, or anything, that's the way it be all. But if you have something right in front of you that's so say the rove, so say the chazak, of course it's true.
Okay. Yeah, but the odds that it'll happen are slim. Okay. Keep in mind, the odds the husband will come and be ma'arer be'emes are lower than the odds that there's an aveira be'emes. Right? Think about it. If the odds that there's really a puzzle get are 1%, the odds the husband will come and save his apostle get have to be less than 1%. You might not come, right? So it's 0.5%. So we're not worried about the 1% chance of doing an Aveira. We're worried about the 0.5% chance of finding out we did the Aveira and then being messed up. So that is a, okay, I find it philosophically interesting. You can make of it what you will.
You can make it during the show, gig, and lazy. Once he guys comes up, it's amazing.
No, it's not amazing. Once the guy comes up, she'll stop.
She'll stop.
So it's not amazing. She'll stop. She'll just be messed up. So it's an interesting question, you know, are we, L'chora? I guess you don't want to say anything. It's not that we're worried about the damage to her. We're worried about the bad effect on society if people realize things like this happen. Well, the pashas, the horror, worry about her. It's an interesting question. Let's say, you know, there was a, you know, there was a 1% chance that the meat you bought is treif. So what will I say? I'll say, eh, you're not going to find out anyway. Who cares? 99% good enough. But if I was afraid that you might find out and be embarrassed by it in front of your friends, I would tell you. I'm more machbid on saving you from embarrassment than on saving the kavod of Hashem from someone doing an Aveira. So the Meiri says yes. If no one tells us about the Aveira and it's 99% unlikely, you don't worry about it. We only worry about it if you might find out about it and then it would have repercussions for you. Okay, the question is the Meiri the right Pshat and Rashi? Because here there's Rashi against the Gemara Daf Hey. Is the Meiri the right Pshat and Rashi? I tend to think not. I tend to think that the Chasam Sofer is the right Pshat and Rashi. What does the Chasam Sofer say? and maybe I will tell you why in a moment. Yes?
A rav is stronger in the world of Easter Be'etar than it is in the world of Adam L'Chaveira.
Okay, fair enough. Meaning it's okay to be someone on a rove in Easter Be'etar. But I shouldn't be someone kind of rove in terms of whether it's going to ruin people's lives and really cause them tremendous suffering and embarrassment. That's l'chor, that's what the Meiri's saying. That's exactly what the Meiri's saying. Okay, but however, it's not so morchuch that is pshat in. It's not so morchuch that is pshat in Rashi. There's another possible way to explain pshat in Rashi. One second, yes. Which is what the Chasam Sofer says. Just say it's machlokes asugyas. He was trying to miyashiv Rashi with the sugya over there and said, "Don't worry about your work." And here Rashi says, "We're worried about the etzam haveira." The answer is maybe it's machlokes asugyas. The sugya in Daf Beis holds that Rava is really choshish for the aveira of eishes eshev get pasul. The sugya in Daf Hey holds that Rava is not really choshish for get pasul. Rava is only choshish for laws of the. For laws of the Irur Habal, I think that's probably the Pashat Shat, and I'll tell you why in a moment. So says the Chasam Sofer, by the way, all the Achronim say this in variations. Says it's a machlokes hasugyos according to Rashi. The Suginaf Beis held that it was a shash. A real shash. The sugya and the Afayim Aleph holds only that it's a shash of laaz. And therefore, over here, Rashi says it's a real shash. And over there, Rashi only interprets it as a shash of laaz. Why would Rashi do such a thing? Because over here, in the third line of the Afayim Aleph, it says, Baal Ma'arer Upasale. It used the word puzzle. Over here it says the problem is that it will be puzzle. And Daf Heyim and Aleph, it doesn't sound like the problem is that it will be puzzle. So maybe he understood. Ar sugya holds it. It's a real chash. And that sugya holds that it is merely a chash. Laaz. That could... maybe that could answer another question as well, which is a very, very difficult stira in Rashi, that Rashi says by Asyuhu Beitrei that the Gemara says an afkamin is if two people bring it. According to Rava, there's no problem. Why, according to Rava, is there no problem? So Rashi says that... because there are if two shluchim bring the get, it's no problem according to Rava, because the problem according to Rava is kiyum shtaros, and if there are two people, then they will be able to mekayim the get if need be. Okay, Tosos has two questions on him in Dibur Masal Das Yua. One question is that doesn't actually make sense. If the two people are here, who says they'll be able to mekayim the get? They're not going to stay here forever. Maybe they'll go someplace else. Okay, and the second question is, that's again the Gemara Daf Heyam and Aleph, the very same sugya. Gemara Daf Heyam and Aleph says, if two people bring the get, it's no problem, because if they want, they could just say they saw the Baal divorce his wife. Right, they could just come and testify she's a pnuya. They can testify whatever they want. So the two people are always naman. What does that mean? What that means is that if the two people on Daf Hey, the Gemara is saying, Tosfos quotes it here, if they said the husband divorced her, they'd be believed. So they're also believed to say the husband sent them. If the husband sent them, then it's not a forged get, right? Because the husband sent them. And Tosfos says, and don't say the husband sent them a forged get, because the husband wouldn't send them a forged get, because why would he on purpose want to mess her up? Okay, the rabbi said he by accident mess her up.
How could you say that?
What?
They're bringing a get now. How could they say, holding a get, bring a taina that they divorced him already?
No, as a migu, they could say she was already divorced. Okay. So they're also believed to say the husband sent them this get. So here it's also Rashi Sosa, the Gemara Daf Heyam and Aleph. Rashi here thinks there's a possibility of a real psula. It might really be forged. Right? Rashi here says maybe it's really forged. If it's forged, then you need to aid detection of kind of signatures. It's not good enough for them to say anything else. They actually have to be kind of signatures. While the Gemara Daf Heyam and Aleph says, it's good enough for them to just come and say, we brought this get. If we brought that get, then the Baal sent them with the get. If the Baal sent them with the get, then the stomach's not forged. He can't have any claim that it's forged. How can he say it's forged if he himself sent the get? So it is no problem. So it could be that the Rashi also, how would Rashi answer that kasha on himself? He would say, this is machlokes asugyas. Our sugya is really choshesh that every soul might have really happened. Rava thinks it was really shalishma. Rava thinks it was really forged. If it was really forged, then you need two aidan to say that the signatures are authentic. Well, the sugya ends up, hey, by then the Gemara changed their mind. And then they don't really think that we're really choshesh for a problem in and of ourselves. We're just worried the Baal might be ma'arer. And therefore, when it comes to lishma, if the Baal himself brings the get, we're not worried he won't be ma'arer. When it comes to aidan suing l'kaimo, if two aidan bring the get, they can tell the Baal, what do you mean, you handed us the get? Or they're saying the Baal hands us the get, the Baal now has no possibility of being ma'arir. He can't say he didn't hand them the get, and it's no problem. So it could be Rashi just holds that it is a machlokes ha-sugyos.
Maybe Rashi holds only pointing to Rabba.
Well, both the steers I mentioned were, one was Rabba to Rabba, and one was Rabba to Rabba, so that's not going to help. that's not going to help. Anyway, Lamaisa, it could very well be that Rashi doesn't hold like the Meiri. He just holds the machlokes ha-sugyos, whether we're choshesh for a real psul, or we're only choshesh for laaz. Okay, maybe we'll talk about that a little more when we get to the pay. Meanwhile, I want to go on and just finish up this Gemara. Let's go to Daf Gimel and Aleph. Says the Gemara in Daf Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara asks, Haikulahu chumrahu di matzatzla trei lo asi bal ma'aru pasalei. Chad asi bal ma'aru pasalei. Says, how is it a kula that they allowed one eight instead of two? If they had two Aiden, she would be safe forever. There'd be no way to possible her. If we allow only one Aid, then maybe the Baal will come a year later and be Ma'arer and say it was Shalul Shema and possible it. Okay, what gives the Baal the right to possible it? What does this mean? Asi Baal Ma'arer. Ooh, possible. Sounds like the Baal can actually make it possible. Okay. Who says the Baal can actually make it puzzle? So that's number one, Rashi. Rashi says it literally means puzzle. Right, says Rashi. Puzzle mamish. Why is it puzzle? After one aid said it was lishma. Okay, but the Baal said it was shalom lishma. So one aid versus one aid cancel each other out. If they cancel each other out, we still have a chash of shalom lishma. Mishum. Eid Echad versus Eid Echad, right? It's one Eid versus one Eid, as Rashi says. What's his Lashon? Oki Chad lo Had Echad. Okay, it's a good Lashon. Oki Chad lo Had Echad. The Baal is one and the Shlich is one. They're eating each other out and you have no Eiders anymore. Oki Chad lo Had Echad. So Rashi thinks that Pasul literally means Pasul. Because, and why is it puzzle? Because he eliminates the Eidos of B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam. Tosos disagrees. After all, Tosos and the other Rishonim say, we never really had a chashash. It was only a problem of laws. So what's the Baal going to do? The worst thing he'll do is make laws. After all, one versus one is good enough to make laws. But Tosos says, in the first thing, Tosos is first, the puzzle mamish. After all, it says puzzle. So Tosos, in his first Thea says, Pasul Mamish. Why is it Pasul? Bit Paslu Haget. Midrabanan. Mishom Laz. Midrabanan. Once there was Laz, we really don't believe the Baal. Why don't we believe the Baal? This is Rashi and Tosla Shitase. Rashi says, we really thought it was Shalom Lishma. One aid comes and says Lishma, that's good enough. One aid comes and eliminates him. Now we're back to really thinking it might be Shalom Lishma. Tosla says, we never really thought it was Shalom Lishma. We're only worried about Laz. One aid comes and takes away the Laz. But the Baal comes back, and one aid comes and takes away, you know, we think at first the possibility of laws, the Baal comes, contradicts the aid, everyone's going to listen to the laws, it's one-on-one. Why wouldn't everyone worry about the laws if it's one-on-one? And the first thing Tosfos says, since it says puzzle, it must mean puzzle, it must be that Midrabanan it's puzzle because of laws, because they thought it was improper to get with laws and make it kosher, because people would start taking the Isseracious Ish lightly.
How do you know that this Tosfos
how do we know if he's going on Rava or Rava? And you want to suggest that it is a makes a difference. Why?
It's just what's closest to the problem. Meaning, if Tosfos says, what was Tosfos' question? Why is it only a laws that's happening here? I guess anyways, it's going to be only laws. But if it's going on the first sugya, it's going to be laws because of
well, we know Tosfos holds only laws in the first sugya, so there's no Kiddush.
Correct.
Exactly. So it could be. Right, certainly yeah, this Tosfos works fine.
Well, it would be enough to mean whether this laws that we mentioned in the previous Tosfos were possible. But yeah, I don't know if it's Masha.
What you're saying is maybe only the laws of Mizuyah were possible, again, not the laws of Shul Lishma. It could be. I must admit, I have no reason misvara to be mechalich. If those things laws possible to get, then I would assume until proven otherwise, it's all the laws.
It could be true both ways.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Of course, the maskana is in Tosos in his maskana, and the Ritva says that it doesn't mean puzzle mamish. It just means he will make people think it's puzzle, right? That's what he says later on. Upuzzle and shiaminu lelaz, right? Apostle Mamish, Ella, Sheyaminu, Lilaz, right? The Ritva has the phrase, Libo Nokfo, people will not want to marry her because they'll be nervous about the Laz, right? So, okay, we're not sure if puzzle means literally puzzle, and if so, is it puzzle substantively because he really convinces us, or just puzzle because of PR, because we the Laz is so bad that we don't want to allow the get to go through, or puzzle just means he will make some people suspect that it's puzzle, but he won't actually make the best that halachically think it's puzzle, but that will still create a big problem that we want to avoid.
Yeah, Rabbi, isn't this totally in that peculiar we're throwing around?
Ah, that's an interesting question. The Rav in the Shiurim here talks about, you know, is Rashi right that it's one against one? Remember, we had a discussion. Maybe once a Chum believes the first aid, he's like Shnayim. And once the first aid is like Shnayim, then the second one shouldn't be believed. Again, this has nothing to do with Tosos. It was all a matter of Laz, whether the Laz has a psol or doesn't have a psol. That has nothing to do with formal Nemanis. But if it's a matter of Rashi, Rashi seems to be assuming here that when it comes to this kind of Eidos, right, what's Rashi's assumption? He assumes that we don't say, Kol Makom Shehemina Torah Eid Echad Harehu Kishnayim by Eidos B'fanei Nechtav. That's his assumption, right? Because we know the Gemara says by Eidos Sota or by Eidos Isha, meaning Aguna, that her husband died, or by Eidos Egla Rufa, if one aid came and said, and then another aid came later and contradicted him, it wouldn't work, because the first aid is Neman Kishnayim. So Rashi assumes we don't say Eid Echad Neman Kishnayim by Eidos of B'fanei Nechtav. That's the assumption. Unlike Eidos Isha, keep in mind, Eidos Isha, the woman's husband died. That's an Eidos on Davar Sheba Erva, which is only Durabanan, right? It's Takanah Durabanan Mishamiguna. And we do say Reiv Kishnayim. Here it's also Takanah Durabanan Mishamiguna. And we don't say Harehu Kishnayim according to Rashi. So the Rav points out that this Rashi, again, for Tosfos, we don't care about these things. It's not a formal issue. It's just what will cause rumors or what will settle rumors. But for Rashi, what would the Svara be? Right? Even though we do say it for Eidos on Misas HaBaal, which is very parallel. It's an Eid Echad that we wouldn't think should be believed, but is believed, you know, because of some Takana Darabanan. So L'chora, what the Rav says is, you have to say a Lamedus to explain this Rashi. What Lamedus do you have to say to explain this Rashi? That really, both of these Eidos, both those Eid Echad shouldn't work. An Eid Echad shouldn't believe that your husband died. An Eid Echad shouldn't be believed to say the get was written l'shma. Midrabanan, when they believed him, they must have believed these two Eidim in two different ways. And this goes back to our discussion in Tosas Demraskal Eid Echad Nem and Bisur in the shorter one. What the Rav says here is why. But says the Rav in the Shurim here. He makes it a little more complicated. He says you have to say that they made two different takanas. When it comes to Eidos Isha, they made a takana that an Eid Echad is Neman even in a Davar Sheva Erva. If an Eid Echad is Neman in a Davar Sheva Erva, then they're Imamin him like Shnayim. Right? So what does the Rav say? The Eidos Isha, meaning Sabal, Tiknu, the Eid Echad Neman al davar sheva erva. Once an Eid Echad is neman of davar sheva erva, then we're talking about real Eidos. They decide to be neman in Eid Echad. They made him like Shnayim. Over here, the Eidos, the funny nechta. The Rav says, you think that whole havmi of the Gemara was just a shtus? You think that was just barking up the wrong tree, like hitting a dead end of the maze and then starting it from scratch? He said, no. We have to be medayt from the havmi of the Gemara. Tiknu de. Sivas, I get l'shma chashiv ki'isurin greda. They're mitakin, and no, we treat this question of l'shma just like isurin. Joel, there's a hobby. L'shma was just a detail to get that it was just isurin. So kamashmala on that, maybe we should have to treat as davar sheva erva. But once, really, we know that Rov's Bekian Hain and Stam Safri Yudaini Migma Gamiri, they're talking to just treat it like an Isurin Bialma. And if you feel like Isurin Bialma, and you assume, right, like the Re, quoted by the Ritva, against the other day in Tosos, right? Oh, Kedas Ritva. The Shame Re. Eidos Isurin Ein Omrim Harei Hu Kishnayim. That's what you have to say. Okay, this be a little tricky. Okay, Reb Chaim, if anyone got a chance to look at that whole Reb Chaim, knows what say. But lechora, this is what Rashi holds. Since when does Rashi hold one beats one in, which is against the principles that we find in Shas by the parallel case of Edus Misabal? So the Rav says, you have to say Edus Misabal, they made one Neman and Dabar Sheva Erfa. After all, that was a pure Dabar Sheva Erfa. No two ways about it. Over here, where it was really very similar to Risurim, and we weren't sure if it was considered Yisurim or Dabar Sheva Erfa. And the end of Yisurim was Dabar Sheva Erfa. When they made the Tachan Rabban and they brought it back to Yisurim, they said, treat it just like Yisurim. And once you treat it like Yisurim, then one eight is Nehma, but he's not Kishnayim, according to the Ri. You have to make two assumptions, also like that Ritva, according to the Ri that we saw a few Shirim ago. That's the Chor, but you have to say Svar for Rashi. So the Rav puts a lot of Lumdas into this Rashi. And there's more Lumdas a little later in the Sugya in this Rashi, but maybe we will get back to it. Okay, let's just finish up the Sugya. So thank you for that Ha'ara. The Gemara says, in the end, okay, so isn't there going to be trouble? If it's only one aid, it's not better for the woman. It's worse for the woman because the Baal will come and mess her up. Either mess her up, mamish, make her have to get divorced, according to Rashi, because we really think he's telling the truth, or according to one day in Tosos, make her get divorced because the Lashon is puzzled, because the Laz is so bad we make her get divorced. Or no, he'll just spread bad rumors, which will be difficult, according to the Maskan of Tosos and the Ritva and many Rishonim. So what are we saying? No, they come and since we say when the shliach gives it to her and says he doesn't just do it stam. He has to give it to her in front of either two or three, and al pashtos, he has to give it to her in front of a bezdin. That's okay. It could be he needs three for a bezdin. It could be that he counts the third for the bezdin because we'll see. The Gemara calls that shliach nasa aid. He has to give it to her in bezdin. That's a big deal. He has to do a whole formal ritual in bezdin of giving to her and saying funny nechtav. If so, Meikara, if someone knows the rule that they're going to have to give it in bezdin and it's going to be a big deal, keep in mind, a pashut shot in the days of the Gemara, no one got divorced in bezdin. People just got divorced on their own. Right, but this guy's going to have to go to bezdin. He's going to have to go to a bezdin. So Meikara meidikdayik velo asi lerui nafshe. He is originally very careful because he doesn't want to, literally to weaken himself. He doesn't want to look bad. He doesn't want to make himself look bad. Okay. What exactly who is made dayak and exactly who is worried about looking bad is not 100% clear. You know, just I don't know if there's any lumdish implications, but that peich, the translation of the words, is not 100% clear. Meikar made dayak, who's made dayak? So Rashi says pretty clearly, the shliach is made dayak. Right? Made dayak ha-shliach. The shliach is very careful. Since this shliach is going to have to deliver this get in front of Bezdin and say something in front of Bezdin, he's going to be very careful. He's going to be more than a regular yachad. He's going to be very careful to make sure he's telling the truth. Because it's one thing to lie, or not to lie, you know, to approximate, to assume, you know. You can always say, do me a favor, you know, go tell them that you saw that it's okay, because trust me that it's okay, it's almost okay, it's just a technicality anyway, who cares? You know, you can always convince someone to fudge the truth a little. But if their mom's going to have to get up and say it in front of a bezdin in a formal sense, then they won't fudge the truth at all. So, may Karim, may Dikdayek. May Dikdayek. Rashi, and the Ritva also sounds like this, says, Hashliach Medayek. The truth is, I didn't put this on the course, the Rashba sounds a little more like the Baal is Medayek. He's not trying to translate the word. Most of the Rishonim don't necessarily think it's so important to give you the exact, translation, but the exact parsing of, you know, who this phrase is talking about. But he does say, He says, if two people bring Kolshkin the Havali, and came to Yard of the Tray, just to be found, since the Baal gave it to two people, he should also make her Medik Dayak. Dayak in the singular, going to the Baal giving to two people, it sounds to the Rashba like it's the Baal who's Medayak. Why? Since the Baal knows that the Shliach's going to declare this in front of Bezdin, he is very, very medayek in his words, so maybe you could say it means the Baal is medayek. This is the mashmos of the Rash, which I can find in the course, but if you read it, that's what it sounds like. He doesn't say explicitly. So okay, either shliach is medayek, the shliach is very careful. The shliach wouldn't lie here, because he or the Baal is very medayik. Since the Baal knows the shliach is going to say this in front of, then he makes sure that it is really true. And what's the lo'asi l'uri nafshei? Who's worried about lo'asi l'uri nafshei? So here, sorry, I don't want to spend too much time on it. Yeah. Who's lost? Who's afraid they don't want to make themselves look bad? So here, so the Ritva here has two opinions. The Ritva here is two deus. Who exactly is not going to make themselves look bad? Rashi doesn't explicitly say who's not going to make himself look bad. The shliach knows. Okay, let me go back for a second. Who's not going to make himself look bad? So the Ritva says, give me a second. Here we are. He says, no one's going to believe me about this. Okay, says the Ritva. He says, Hashliach. The Shliach's not going to, the Shliach's Medayik, because the Shliach's not going to want to look bad if someone says he's lying. So the Shliach's super Medayik to make sure that it's really true. Or you could say, here's the second day, which that's the difference to Pirushim. He says, no, the Baal's not going to want to look bad. Since the Baal knows that the Shliach's so Medayik, therefore, he's not going to want to be Ma'arir, because he'll make himself look bad. What does it say in the second shot? Inami Yishloma came to Shliach Medik Daik Lo Osi Baal Lori Nafshe B'dam Shulchosh Lo Yami Nuhu. Okay, since the Shliach is so Medayik, the Baal's not going to want to make himself look bad. Okay, but doesn't necessarily make enough gemina. In the end, clearly, because there's going to be this whole ritual, formal saying in front of a Bezim Fani Nechtam, the Nechtam Fani Nechtam, they're medayik. Someone there is medayik to make sure that it's true, because they know what they're saying, and they won't want to have any falsehood, because that would be that would make themselves look very bad. As opposed to Stam, okay, the shliach will say something, you know, if it turns out that someone questions it, it's not the end of the world. Or the Baal will say something, if it turns out, or the Baal will say something, even if it's a contradiction, it's not the end of the world. But over here, where he's medik dayik, it's much more serious. What's more importantly, what's the practical result of medik dayik? So, what's the practical result of Medik Dayik? What is the bottom line? What happens? So Rashi at first says what this means is that the Baal's not going to be Ma'arer. The Baal's not going to be Ma'arer. There is no problem with Baal's Ma'arer. We don't have to worry the Baal will be Ma'arer, because he won't be Ma'arer, because he's so careful in the first place that there's no chance the Baal will be Ma'arer. So you could say that this is the first part of Rashi, and the Rashi actually a Havim like this, that there is no chance the Baal will be Ma'arer. There's no chance the Baal will be Ma'arer. Why? Because they're so careful. Either the Shliach so careful, we're sure it's true, or the Baal so knows the Shliach so careful, right? That the Baal knows the Shliach so careful that he's not going to be able to say it's not true, because everyone knows that it's true. No chance the Baal will be Ma'arer, because either the Shliach is careful to make sure the Baal won't change his mind. Right? The Shliach is very careful to make sure the Baal won't change his mind. That is what the Rashi says in the first shot, or because Baal won't be Ma'arer against the Chezkas Diuk Ashliach. That's the two days in the Ritva, right? This is Rashi. And the first shot in the Ritva,
This is the second shot of the mitzvah.
Right? There's no chance the Baal will be Ma'arer. There's no chance the Baal will be Ma'arer because after all, the Shliach Medayik, he makes sure that nothing bad is going to happen because he doesn't want to look bad. Or the Baal doesn't want to look bad and he says, well, if the Shliach so Medayik, then I'm not going to say anything against him because no one will believe me. The second Shalom Rashi is, Rashi adds, however, that even if Baal is Ma'arir, the Chezkas Diuk of the Shliach outweighs his error, and we don't believe him. Okay, says Rashi, he's not arguing. He adds, even if the Baal is Ma'arir, won't help. Okay, this seems to be pretty unfortunate enough. Of him, Bayes, it says, if the Baal comes in as Ma'arir after finding out from the Nefta, we won't listen to him. Right? So, it's not necessarily Stira. This is Mashurish on the Bayes. Lo Mashkechinan Bay. Right? The Losh is Lo Mashkechinan Bay. It turns out this error really, really works. What's the Losh in there? I'll tell you the Losh in 1 second. Iyasi Baal Ma'arir Lo Mashkechinan Bay. Okay, the Rashi or some sort of happening to me. That's not really true, but in the end, everyone agrees it's true. Lemaisa, not only do we not think the Baal will be Ma'arir, even if Baal is Ma'arir, Lo Mashkechinan Bay, it won't help. Why? Because he's against this Cheskas Diuk of the Shliach, and therefore, no one's going to listen to him. Okay, continuing the Gemara just says, L'Rav, L'Fidam, L'Fisha, Ein, Eid, Mitzvim, L'Kaim, L'Liboy, Trey. Okay, Rava. One thing I just want to point out, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, is that Machlokes Rishonim, what's the Chashash according to Rava? And then maybe we'll erase the board. Someone will get the board at me, and we'll erase it. What's the Chashash according to Rava? Rava says, Ein Edim Mitsuyim Lekaimo. Meaning, it's a Chashash of Ziyuf. What's the Chashash of Ziyuf? Why do we think, how do we think it might have been forged? What do all the Rishonim say? The Pashup Shat? Why do you think it might have been forged? What's the Pashup Shat? Why do we think it might have been forged? Who would have forged it and why? What do we think? I don't know. You don't need to know any Gemara. Pashup Shat. Who would have forged it and why? The wife or her henchman, right? Would have forged it in order to be able to remarry, right? So that's the Pashup Shat. This is the all the Rishonim except for the Ravid. Choshishin she habaal lo shalach get bechlal veha'isha zifo. Not necessarily with her own hands. She got something from Zifo yet, and really this is total sheker v'chazav. We are choshish that it's not true at all. The Ravid doesn't like that. What does the Ravid say? What's the Ravid's problem? The Ravid's problem is if we're worried that it's really all a story that's made up, the husband never sent it, why did the Shliach then say funny after funny after? Let him just say, the husband sent me. And if the husband sent him, then it's not forged. Right? So, and he's always going to say the husband sent me. Meaning, that makes a lot more sense, right? It's not like a random thing. Like he comes and says, the husband sent me with the get. Okay, the husband sent me with the get. Just leave an Eidecha. Why don't you find an Eidecha? So what does he say the Chash is? Yes, he makes up this sort of far out possibility. He says, Choshishin Shehaba'al Ziyapachasimos Bishogig. We're worried. It's sort of like the Shema. He's not an expert in halacha. He was in a big rush. Why was he in a big rush? Because in Medina Sayyam, not every day someone travels from Medina Sayyam to the place where his wife lives. And the guy's leaving. That guy might not leave again for a long time. So he wants to send a get. The guy's leaving at 2 o'clock. It's now 1:57. So he has no time to find Edim. So instead, he just signs the name of two of his friends, and he thinks that's good enough because he's not an expert in halacha, because in the Zayam they don't mean no halacha. So it's much more similar to Rava. It's not that we're choshesh for nefarious plot. We're just choshesh for a mistake due to lack of akias in halacha. He makes Rava very close to Rava. Of course, this is a big chiddush in a Das Yochid, because it's sort of a weird scenario. It's one thing to not know a get needs to be l'shma. To think that you can sign someone else's name on a legal document, maybe I'm naive, but I tend to think even a Reformed Jew who hasn't learned a lot of Gemara understands on his own that there's something wrong with signing a witness's name who's not you on a formal legal document. So it seems to be a little far off. Okay, that's the Ravid says. The Ravid says this because of a certain pressure. Because otherwise, why not just say the Hagen sent him? Why not just say the Hagen sent him? And the Ramban, there's a technical answer to that. The Ramban and all his Talmidim say, well, if there's a Gemara later on, in the sixth parak, what is it? Maybe Samech something. Daf Samech Dalid. About, if I claim the husband sent me to deliver a get and he claims he didn't, who's believed? So they said, well, there's a sugya. There's already pre-existing rules about who's believed, who isn't believed. If I say you sent me to give a get and you said you didn't, therefore they didn't want to make a takana here because there are already pre-existing rules and they didn't want to change those rules. So instead, they made a takana saying funny nechtam. And if they say there are no pre-existing rules about if I say it's forged and you say it isn't, what the din is. And therefore, once he's named the funny nechtam, then we know it was really signed. If it was really signed, then we know that it is a valid get. Okay, we'll leave that for now. Lamaisa, no one agrees to the right. Let's go on to the Gemara. The next part of the Gemara. The Rav long fish ain't even assume the kaimo, leave by train me the Avikim Shtaros, the Allah. According to Rav, who says ain't even assume the kaimo, you should need two, just like all Kim Shtaros. Whenever I write nowadays, if I have a shtar of some sort and it's signed, how do you know this is an authentic signature? What if someone said it was forged? What do we do nowadays?
Oh.
Well, what do we do nowadays? We notarize it, right? There's an official guy called a notary, and what does he do? He testifies in some formal way that this was really signed by the people who it looks like it was signed by. Okay, in the old days, that was Kiev Shtaros. You would go to Beis Din with two witnesses. Either the two guys themselves would come and say, we really signed this, or two witnesses would come and say, we really recognize these signatures and we know it's the signature of these guys, or some other type of proof. And Beis Din would sign on the bottom, that is Mekuyim. And you always need two Eidim for Kiyum Shtaros. So, they ask her to Rava, why is one Eid good enough? Don't you need two Eidim for Kiyum Shtaros to say that it's authentic signatures? So the Gemara answers, Eidach HaNeman Be Yisurin. The Gemara says, Eimer Dabri Eidach HaNeman Yisurin Kom Chatiqa Sof Yishalchelev Sof Yishalchelev. It says, no, you need two Eidim for Kiyum Shtaros of Mamo. Here it's just Isser. Now we go to the same discussion. What do you mean? Eimer Dabri Eidach HaNeman Yisurin Kom Chatiqa Sof Yishalchelev Sof Yishalchelev Lo Yishalchelev Sof Yishalchelev Sof Yishalchelev Lo Yishalchelev Sof Yishalchelev Lo Yishalchelev Sof Yishalchelev No, this is Erva. This is not Yisurin. So how is one Eid good enough? The answer is Bidin who became Shtaros Nami Lodi Boy. Really, Midaraisa Kim Shtaros also doesn't need two. Nothing to do with Yisurim. Even Dini Mamadas Kim Shtaros doesn't need two. Why? Apishnayim Edim Yachim Dover. Because of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Edim Asun al Ashtar, Nasik Mishinefri Dusan Bezin Dami. Edim signed an Ashtar, it's as if their Edis has already been interrogated and accepted in Bezdin. Meaning, Edim or signed an Ashtar, it's already Kosher Edis. And therefore, you don't need any Edim for Kim Shtaros Midaraisa. Midaraisa, you need zero Edim for Kim Shtaros. You just assume it's true. Drabbanu the Atzer. It's only me Drabbanan that you need Kiyum Shtaros. Should we do not color Rabbanan? Normally they required two. Here for Egan they required one. Then they have the same discussion. Haikulahu Chomrahu. Haikulahu Chomrahu. The Imatsu le Trelo Asibal Maru Pasale. Chadas Ibal Maru Pasale. Came into our Mar. They come in Oslo. Yochim Rechinia Chadas Ne Shai Chadas Ne Gil. May Kar Medi Gai Glossi the Rue Nafshe. Okay. Here the Kiddish part of this Shakavataria that's not exactly parallel is what's the reason you don't need just the rice over? The other reason was because of Rove Bikin and Stam Safra Dani Migmir. Here the reason is because me the rice, you don't need Kim Shtaros. It's a funny thing, right? Me the rice, I just show up with an IOU that Morty owes me 10,000 shekel signed by Joe Schmo and I don't know whoever goes with him, signed by Reuven and Shimon, and I can collect, and I don't need to prove that they are authentic signatures. Okay, maybe a little later on, in Daf Yud, we'll get into this a little more. But at the very least, At the very least, in this Stam scenario, with no other factors, that would be true. Why? Because of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Eidim Sarn and Ashtar are like Nekri, Dusim, Vest, and Dummy. Okay, this seems like a big Kiddush to us. Why? It's very nice Reish Lakish has a statement, but what's the logic? What logic tells us that every Shtar, we assume the signatures are true, and we don't even need to notarize them? So what does Rashi here say? Lochatzif, right? Lochatzif inish leziyufe. Okay. Lochatzif in. No one has the chutzpah to forge a shtar. Okay. Sarchion, meaning it's not so pashat. Meaning we all have heard stories of forged documents before, right? You read in the newspapers, there are people who forge documents in the world. So what is Lochatz? Obviously, he doesn't mean no one would ever do it. He means that it's highly unlikely that anyone would forge a shtar.
Well, it means before there's an irul. In other words, unless there's an irul.
Aha. So it could mean unless there's an error. Good point. Okay, maybe I will mention that. In any case, the Rashi seems to say a similar shot in, right? The Rashbam seems to say a somewhat similar shot in Bava Basra. Daf Kuf Ayin Amud Aleph. The Rashbam says that, let me just find the line. Yeah, here we are. So next should do Yisrael Lasso Shtarim Shtaris Mizuyafim. Right? We're not Choshe people, or at least Yidden, from forging Shtaris. So it's just like unlikely. Now it's a big Kiddush because we're multi-mammon based on this, right? Tosos and Ksuvas, just give me a second, adds a little psychological backing to this. What does Tosos and Ksuvas add psychologically? Why would no one have the chutzpah to forge it? It's an interesting question. Like, people have the chutzpah to lie, right? Meaning, very, very clearly, let's be very honest. If I come and say, you know, I swear by, you know, Shane Ben Ein Bezosius, right, that Morty owes me 10,000 shekel, then we don't believe me. We say, I'm Mosbeth Olivaraya, right? What do you mean you wouldn't lie? You might lie. So why lo chutzpah? Why would no one forge a shtar? If I would do every other dishonest thing, maybe I would, maybe I won't. But you can't just believe me, Stam. So if I say and I swear and I this and I beg and I plead, etc., we don't believe me. We say you might lie. Why would I not forge a shtar? So I guess you could say just it's a lot of chutzpah to forge a shtar. But it could be because the reason of Tosin Subas. What does Tosin Subas say? That then mirtas, it's a what we would call a milsa davida legluye, right? Stam, if I lie, there's not necessarily any way to catch me, right? I mean, unless it's a dumb lie, right? If I say I lent you 10,000 shekel while no one was looking, then, you know, how's anyone going to know? But if you bring a piece of paper, the piece of paper has witnesses on it, you hand someone over that piece of paper, the signatures are there, eventually someone will find those eidim, someone will find their real signatures and see if they match or not. Right, so therefore, that's the din of milsa davida legluye lo mashakri inchi. Right, no one would lie about something where they're for sure going to get caught. Here, you're for sure going to get caught. So maybe that's the svara, unless you want to say stam lo chatzif and lo chashiv. But maybe the reason behind all this, like Tosu says, because you're afraid of getting caught. Okay. Again, nowadays that doesn't seem to deter everyone. But I can understand you're afraid of maybe once upon a time they had higher moral standards. And you're afraid of getting caught. Now, what's going to happen to you if you get caught? I don't know. Meaning, if I was an atheist, I would say, okay, maybe eventually I'll get caught. Meanwhile, I'll make a lot of money. And, you know, if I get caught, I'll worry about it then. But, all right, maybe once upon a time, people were at higher moral society, at higher moral standards, that people were afraid to forge stars. It should strike us as a little bit of a chiddush. Give me a second. As a little bit of a chiddush, that you're motzi mamon based on this. Seems to be a bit of a chiddush. But, okay, we're motzi mamon because we're really sure no one would forge a shtar.
Maybe there are two steps. Maybe the Zufe thanks to the shtar, and then the shtar is what motzi mamon.
Aha, okay. So hold that thought.
On the lashon of the Rashbam, it sounds like, and this is maybe something that comes up a little bit in Bava Basra about assumptions, it's not like a psychological or a calculus. It's more like halacha doesn't give you the right to assume that another Jew is lying.
Meaning there's no latest hasafik.
Yeah.
Well, you do have the right to assume they're lying. You don't have the right to assume. Right, yeah, there's no latest hasafik that they forged a shtar.
Exactly. It doesn't really matter what the psychology or the metzias is. It's just you can't create a latest hasafik from that type of assumption.
Right, it's just still a little counterintuitive. Right, it's still a little counterintuitive.
But it's more palatable than Rashi and Tosafot.
Uh-huh. So the guy is saying it's just we don't have a latest hasafik. Why should we think it's forged? It looks kosher to us. I mean, it's supposed to I say something, so what if I say something? But over here, it looks like a shtar to us. We can't assume it's forged unless we have reason to think so. Or we even have proof to think so. Okay, perhaps. Yes?
The whole notion, I think the whole notion that a piece of paper can be a proof for something, in the Torah is a chiddush. Because why? But that's the way the world works. In other words, if the Torah decided that this is the way the world works, then we have to have certain basic premises of a belief, otherwise this whole system doesn't work.
Okay, good. So hold that thought. Okay, so let us... let us just ask ourselves the following question. And this is really going to be the $64,000 question here. Right? What is the nature of a shtar? So let's just visit. Why? Lama ein choshishin leziyof min ha-Torah. Why midoraisa are we not close for ziyuf? I know Yorban we are, and normally we need 2 eidim for kim shtaros, and in this case we need 1 eid for kim shtaros. But why midoraisa on the fundamental level are we not choshish for ziyuf? So you could say it's just a strong umdana, right? That's what it sounds like from Rashi, and perhaps for Rashbam, although for the Rashbam maybe you could say it's more of a lack of latest hasafik. And from Tosfos Subos, who makes it a little more powerful, gives us a little more psychological backing. The Pnei Yoshua I gave you is a brisker forerunner. He says, hold on a second, this seems to be a little stronger than necessary. He says, the Shach brings an opinion that even if the 2 eidim come and say we didn't sign it, we still believe the shtar. The shtar is still kosher. So he says, what's pshat? Like, I don't understand. It's a milsa v'ilugli. What's the milsa v'ilugli? There's no way to disprove it. He says, what do you mean? The shach says there is no way to disprove the shtar in Doraisa. Even if someone came and said it was forged, you wouldn't believe them. So what's the milsa v'ilugli? So he suggests that maybe it's exeris hakasav. What's exeris hakasav? We remember the Torah of Behar, right? I think we laid that this year, no? In this country, right? That Yirmiyahu buys a field from Hananel ben Shalom, his relative. It's a big mess, exactly what the relationship between them is. Go read the psukim, and it's very unclear. But his uncle or cousin of some sort. And Uchsoba Sefer Bachasoba Edeidim, write a shtar. Right? Shtar in the Torah is called Sefer. And sign it with witnesses. Unisatim Kli Cheres, Laman Yam Du Yamim Rabin. Put it in a Kli Cheres, right? And Laman Yam Du Yamim, I assume they would put it in a Kli Cheres, probably buried underground in a hiding place someplace. And Laman Yam Du Yamim Rabin, it will last a long time. If the Zerzagos seems to be, what do you mean? If you're always going to need to authenticate the signatures, how is that going to work? How's it going to be? The manyan, the yom rab, why do you always have someone who knows the signatures? Rather, it may be a xeris akasav. So the thing she would suggest that it is a xeris akasav, and I want to think about that for a moment and see what Reb Chaim says about it. But first, let's ask a simple question.
He's also assuming that that's
doraisa. Fascinatingly, he's assuming that Pesach Yirmi is doraisa. Most we show him assume the Pesach Yirmi is Doraisa. Of course, you could always say the Pesach Yirmi is the Kana Drabat, right? Not so poshut. And hold that thought. Now, the question that bothers everyone is, we say Kid Reish Lakish, the Amr Reish Lakish. What does Reish Lakish say? Eidim or Chesumen El Shtar is as if Nechper Yidus of Bezdin Dami. He doesn't seem to directly be talking about Kiyom, right? It seems that we're saying it's like the statement of Reish Lakish, who said in a different context. But in what context did Reish Lakish originally say a statement? So we know in what context Reish Lakish originally said the statement. That seems to be relevant to the Gemara in Ksubos. What was the case in the Gemara in Ksubos? The question was, can Edim retract their testimony or not? Right? Normally, if Edim are made in Beis Din, can they retract their testimony? Shuvim Chozer Magid, but at first they can. After all, there's Drish Vachakir, they start asking questions and they try to clarify more. Once they're in a Nechri, do some Beis Din, once they've already been interrogated and accepted by Beis Din, then it's too late. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. What the Gemara says here, right? Here it's not like Reish Lakish. Here it is Reish Lakish's original statement, right? That if Edim came and said, yeah, we signed the shtar, but it's not true, then it's not clear if they're believed. They want to say no. If they say we signed the shtar, but it's not true, and someone just held a gun to our head and forced us, they can retract. And the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Why can they retract? And if you say, no, but in the shtar they can retract, so really, he couldn't have meant that. Right? They can't retract their testimony. That's the original statement of Reish Lakish. Everyone wonders here, what is the connection to the original statement of Reish Lakish, that is, commission echoes do some best in dummy, and this application that we're not worried about Kiyom? After all, we're saying Kid Reish Lakish. If I would see the statement of Reish Lakish, what does that mean? The statement of Reish Lakish means that they're finished talking and it's too late to retract. Why does that mean that we assume it's not forged? Like, where in Reish Lakish do we find that we assume it's not forged? The connection is not 100% clear. That's what the Ritva here is bothered by. Right, what's the connection? What's the Ma'avar? How do we go from, here's Reish Lakish, how do we go from Shub, Eino, Chozer, Umagid to right? Ein Choshishin Mizyuf. Like, how do you make that transition? So the Ritva's bothered by this. The Ritva says in his first day, which is a little dachuk, and he doesn't like in the end what he says, something like it's not mirrored to me in the end. He says, what does he say about this in the end? Here's the first set. After the Kim Lahu behind Reish Lakish, Afilu Bashtar Shayna Makoyim Kalmar. This stum made him so much dark. Okay, the Ainu Machover. He doesn't like this. It's a little dachuk. So, the Ritva. First shot. He says, you're right, there's no logical connection between them. They just understood that Reish Lakish meant two things. He meant, once they're signed in a shtar, they can't retract. And he meant, even without Kiyum, they can't retract. Why can't they retract without Kiyum? Without Kiyum, it's worthless. That proves that without Kiyum, it's still worthwhile. Meaning, since they knew Reish Lakish was talking about shtar she'eino mekoyim, they knew that he was originally talking about a shtar she'eino mekoyim. Why did he say shtar? He didn't give any modifiers. Okay, you understand that's the hook. If he was originally talking about shtar she'eino mekoyim, then why can't they retract? If the shtar is she'eino mekoyim, it's not. They don't even have to retract. It's automatically retracted, right? So this proves that shtar she'eino mekoyim is valid. Okay, he only meant on the Reis level. Say he meant before the Takana. Okay, but he thinks that's dachuk because where do you see that Reish Lakish was talking about Makoyim, not Makoyim? He was just talking about the idea of retraction. No, they were throwing something in. It's not really a connection. They were just throwing in. He was talking about a shtar she'eino mekoyim and the holding was kosher. So the Ritva in the end says a different shot, the Ritva himself. He says that no. He says there's a connection between them. Here's an interesting case. Why are Edim allowed to retract at a certain point and not allowed to retract at another point? So here's the interesting. I would have said, why are Edim allowed to retract at one point and not another point? Because at one point they don't have a chalos edus, so it's not formally chal. Once it's formally chal, so it's a chalos you can't undo. Not all chaluyos are undoable, right? Some chaluyos, there's no way to undo them. He seems to view it a little differently. while the Edom are still being interrogated, you know why they can retract? Because we're not sure that they really meant what they said and said what they meant. Because, after all, you know, it's still being discussed. So if they say, oh no, he didn't really kill him, we'll believe them because they hadn't committed themselves to saying Reuben killed Shimon yet. Because it was still in discussion. Once the interrogation of Rishon Lever is finished, then they've committed themselves to saying Reuben killed Shimon. Once they commit themselves, then they can't retract. How about if they sign an ashtar? On the one hand, they haven't been interrogated yet. Right? They just signed a piece of paper. On the other hand, there's a certain seriousness about signing a piece of paper, meaning they know someone's going to take this piece of paper someplace and do something with it. So they're 100% serious, and they wouldn't joke around. That's why they can't retract. The reason they can't retract is because, what's his lashon? His lashon is, lekelame elima milsad shtar. Shtar is powerful. The lekelame is a mikdam shikra bishtar. And you don't have to worry they were lying. Normally they can retract when they still might have been lying. They weren't like serious yet. Once they're serious and say we're not lying, they can't retract. Once we believe them, they can't retract. In the shtar, we believe them. They can't retract. Why? Then he says again, Dalima Milsa, the shtar to call other nizer shlolaso sheker b'shtar. Everyone's careful not to have false in the shtar. People take shtaros very seriously. People might lie, but they wouldn't lie as a final result of Bez Din. And therefore they're telling the truth, so they can't retract. And they wouldn't lie in a shtar. So he says, what's the reason? He says the Ritva, the reason they can't retract is because we're sure they weren't lying. We're sure they told the truth, because everyone always tells the truth in a shtar. And therefore they can't retract. Again, I would have said the reason they can't retract is because of halos. He says, no, the reason they can't retract is because we're sure they told the truth. Right? I'll read it again. Lekalamechash lemechtam shikr b'shtar. We're not worried they might have been lying.
It kind of makes sense to go the other way. Like, because you can't retract, now we can believe you.
Ah, interesting. But that's not what he says, right? He says, because they wouldn't lie in a shtar, that's why they can't retract. Now, once we know that no one would lie in a shtar, people lie about pet, but no one lies in a shtar. Once you know no one lies in the shtar, then we understand the connection, right? Then, just like Aiden wouldn't lie in a shtar, even though in Bezin they would lie until the Drisha V'Chakira. In Bezin they would lie until we pressured them and pushed them and interrogated them and made it more serious. But in a shtar they wouldn't lie. Likewise, no one would forge a shtar. That's the connection. The connection is a substantive connection. The original statement of Rish Lakish is because we're sure they're telling the truth. And that's why they can't retract. If they're telling the truth, how can we let them retract? They were telling the truth. Now they're lying, but then they were telling the truth. And likewise here, just like we think they wouldn't lie, we think the Bailam wouldn't lie and wouldn't forge a star.
I can formulate it in terms of the terminology of Chabos in the same way. Basically, what Rav is saying is that Agoda said, the Chalos of Agoda said is it's only after Drisha and Chakir. Until Drisha and Chakir was finished.
Okay, fair enough. His Lashon, fair enough. His Lashon, Chol Odom Nizr Shlolaso Sheker B'Shtar, sounds much more practically. Okay, but let me come back to that. Good, let me come back to that. Sure.
Why do we have to say that, according to our understanding, is that the explanation that he gives in Shtar is also the explanation of why can we say that according to the Mitzvah, really the Gemara, in other words, the Gemara Ksuba was asked, Kevin Shayim Shimon Chazomagi, maybe they say it's only in a God and not in a Shah, and then Gemara says, Naisa Kim Shinefa. According to Rashi, Rashi explains that that Kevin Shayim is exerts a Kasu, because we can't do it in a God. And the Gemara says that maybe in Shah it's not in a God. The only thing Gemara is answering is that in a Chinam, it's really not in a God of a Shah. Except that here it's a different problem, it's because a person will never forge a Shah, therefore he won't even be nominated.
Okay,
himself.
Fair enough. Shua is saying it could be that's not the reason for the general Kevin Jehagan, only the reason for this parallel to Kevin Jehagan. Okay, I'm over there. It doesn't change what we're saying now. The Tiferes Yaakov, or Yaakov Gesundheit here, he comes up with something clever. It's based on an interesting assumption. But it's very clever. Tiferes Yaakov, man, I didn't leave room for the truth. Okay. Give me a second. He says something interesting. He says, what does it mean? It's not about whether they'll lie or tell the truth. It's about whether there's a chalos. Reish Lakish is saying there's a chalos. That's why they can't retract, because there's a real chalos. He says, hold on a second. If midoraisa you needed kiyum, then there wouldn't be a chalos edus, because it's not edus without kiyum. It's interesting. He's assuming that if you needed kiyum, it would be part of the chalos edus, not like an external beaver. Right? That's what he's saying. He says, the reason is because it's a final chalos edus. Right? That's why you can't retract. It's a final chalos edus. He doesn't say those words. I'm translating his words. He says that Reish Lakish is saying, he's only saying what he's saying. It's a finalized chalos. How does that prove anything about kiyum? So here he says, but if you needed kiyum midoraisa, then it wouldn't be a final chalos eidos without kiyum. Okay, that's his assumption, right? His assumption that if you need kiyum midoraisa, it's internal to the eidos. Like, how can you say it's nefesh lezer, the eidos is chal, if you don't need kiyum midoraisa? I understand why the eidos is chal. If you need kiyum midoraisa, the eidos wasn't chal. The eidos isn't chal until shas kiyum, in which case they can retract until shas kiyum, which is clearly the point that we're in Ksuvas, that they can't retract even before Shas Kiyum. So that's his interesting assumption. If you need a Kiyum midoraisa, the Kiyum would be internal part of the Eidos, in which case they haven't finished their Haggadah until there's Kiyum. If they haven't finished their Haggadah, they can retract. Therefore, since you can't retract, that proves that the Eidos was Chal and you don't need Kiyum.
So I think that he understands Kiyum by the story. Kiyum is midoraisa. This could be equivalent to the Drisha B'Hakira by Eidos.
Correct. If Kiyum is midoraisa, that would be the sort of Drisha B'Hakira. And wouldn't be a technical side point just to make sure there's no mistaken identity here. After all, let's be fair. Let's say two Eidim were made and were Nidrashu V'Nechkaru. And then someone says, how do we know maybe they're Gazlanim, maybe they're Kruvim, maybe they're Goyim, etc. And we bring all kinds of proofs back and forth till we finally establish their identity. You wouldn't say they can retract now. No, their Eidos is finished. Vishva Hakira. Now we just have to fill in some background details whether they're really the people we thought they were or not. So that's how I would view with Kiyum. Even if you need Kiyum, it's not that their Eidos isn't finished. We just need to fill in some side details. He assumes, no, if you needed Kiyum, that would be part of the Etzem HaEidos, because he's assuming that a signature would be nothing without Kiyum.
And that's really the
Russian Abreshla. And that's Kamisha Nechru. Okay, great. However, Rav Chaim saw this a little differently. How did Rav Chaim see this a little differently? This is based on, let's start like this. Rav Chaim assumed the Rav likes to quote this all over the place from his grandfather, but we don't need to rely on the Rav. That's why I'm glad I had a chance to send out Makor 6, because it's in Rav Chaim, Mefurish in the Chibur, says Rav Chaim, says Rav Chaim here someplace. He says, give me a second. In Perikei Lachavad, he says, let me just read you the money line. Dimavur b'ksubas daf yuchesem and beis, the dino shal shtar hu, da ha'edim ha'chasumim bo nichlal be'edusam shenase be'kashras. Part of the edus of the shtar is that the shtar is kosher. Now, I understand. You are going to say that circular reasoning. How can the shtar be made that the shtar is kosher? But Rav Chaim understands, no, that the shtar is made that the shtar is kosher. Let's go back to Rav Chaim. Why midaraisa don't you need kiyum for the shtar? Because the shtar is made that it's kosher. If the shtar is made that it's kosher, then you don't need kiyum. Don't say, well, how do we know the shtar is kosher? Maybe it's not kosher. That's the chiddush of shtar. That the shtar is made, that it's kosher. Now, of course, someone suggested, oh, Rav Chaim might also need Rashi and Tosfos. The shtar is made that it's kosher when it seems to be correct. It seems to be correct. We have a rove or a strong rove or a chazaka or an umdana, you know, that it might be correct. Therefore, we view it as a shtar. But maybe it's not correct. Maybe it has a psal. No. Once, at the very least, we have some decent reason for believing it, it's made al atma shuhu kosher. I think this, I would put this together with Pnei Yeshua, that Pnei Yeshua doesn't say, Balasha made al atma shuhu kosher. That's why I said it was a forerunner. He just says, maybe shtar is a chiddush. Maybe shtar is a gzeris a kosov. I mean, shtar is a chiddush in some way, perhaps. Maybe it's a gzeris a kosov that we assume it's kosher. Why do we assume it's kosher, gzeris a kosov? Rav Chaim just adds something. Well, let's see why in a moment. Right? So here's Rav Chaim. The shtar is meyid al atzmo shehu kosher. A shtar is made on itself that it's kosher. That's the chiddush of shtar. Now, that's the chiddush of shtar. A shtar is automatically kosher.
That means the jump was just...
Ah, now, according to Rav Chaim, what is this jump? Now we still have to figure out, like, where does Rav Chaim get this idea the shtar is made on itself that it's kosher? It's still going to be a little peculiar, but, give me a second, what's the jump then for Rav Chaim? I think for Rav Chaim, the jump is very obvious, right? That's what he says. What does Rav Chaim say here in Eidos Perikei Lachavav? He says, I have to start a little earlier. V'tzarech lomar, da'amrin al ze'edem achsun al shtar nasim yishnechu yidusu b'vezdin. V'chazak dinon mchosun al shtar lukei nasim b'kashos. V'dino shal shtar hu, da'edem achsun bo nechlo b'yidusu shnasim b'kashos. What does it mean, kenasim yishnechu yidusu b'vezdin, dummy? It means that it's made on itself that it's kosher. Meaning, Rechaim says, why don't you need drisha b'chakira? Why is it nasim yishnechu yidusu b'vezdin, dummy? After all, if I said something, it wouldn't be commission after we just invest in dummy. So the answer is no, because a shtar is automatically kosher. A shtar doesn't need the regular rules to be kosher. A shtar is a xeris a kosov that it's automatically kosher. That's hinekri do some invest in dummy. Don't think a shtar is just regular edos. What would you say in regular edos? Oh, if the edos say they're edos, then maybe bezdin will read it someday, they'll hear it someday, they'll be choker, they'll be doresh, they'll think about it, they'll see if it's a good eidos. No, a shtar is automatically kosher, and bechlal that, says Rav Chaim, is that it's made al atmo shehu kosher. So what is the principle? The principle of Reish Lakish is that a shtar is automatically a hefza shel eidos, even though there's no drisha v'chakira, right? What do you mean? There is no drisha v'chakira. Like, it's a kosher. You ever heard of edus being kosher without drisha v'chakira? Yeah. That's not what it says in Chumash. Midoraisa, edus need drisha v'chakira, right?
Only in bezin.
Only in bezin, then you have to bring the shtar to bezin to win a court case, right? You bring the shtar to bezin, they can't be choker v'doresh. The people signed on the shtar. How is it kosher? The answer is no. That's regular edus. Shtar is a different parsha of edus. Shtar is automatically becomes a chetzal edus, not because it's regular edus, but because of the chiddush, the gzeris custom of shtar. If so, says Rav Chaim, that's the point. It's an automatic chetzal edus. If so, says Rav Chaim, that part of the chiddush of the automatic Hefta shall aid us is that it's automatically kosher. Right? That means may it al atzmo shu kosher. By definition, the shtar is kosher. Why don't you need kiyum? For the same reason you don't need drisha v'chakira, because a shtar is not a regular eidos. A shtar is a unique zeris hakasov that it is automatically a hefta shall aid us even without the normal process and the normal birur.
But everybody's moda, Shal and Gemara, that even if you don't need kiyum d'oraisa, if two edim come and say those are mezuyah signatures, that it's not a good shtar. But for a chayim, shouldn't that be a tray to tray?
Who says everyone's moda?
Isn't that pshat? It comes up like a bunch. And just like in Bas or a bunch of places, the edim are actively not mekayemet, then the d'oraisa now is a problem? Is that not
no, it could be tray to tray is the d'oraisa problem, right? But you know, who says the bun? Maybe okay. It's trade. Now, let me just, yes. Give us some background.
I understand your point a little bit.
Okay.
I think that from my understanding, what he's saying is that when Eidim sign on a shtar, that they need up two different things. First of all, they made on the event, just like Eidim Eidim. They're also being made that the shtar is kosher.
Okay, Eidim on the shtar being made that the shtar is kosher. I mean, isn't every aid made that his aidus is kosher? And we never cared?
No, that's what the Brisha B'Chakira is. Brisha B'Chakira is to clarify.
Is to clarify that it's kosher. And over here, we assume he's kosher. Okay. I'm not sure how different it is from what I said. Right, what Abe is saying is that part of the Grisha here is to make sure that it's kosher, there's no psulim. By an aid on a shtar, we don't have to make sure it's kosher. We take the Adam's word for it, and we accept their aegis that they're kosher. Normally, we don't let the Adam tell us they're kosher. We investigate it. Over here, we automatically assume it's kosher. By whose authority? By the authority of the Adam. Oh, that's circular? That's the Chiddush of shtar.
We're trying to use the word chazokah, though. There's a chazokah.
Okay, let me get back to that in a moment. V'chazakah dein eidim chosin al shtar l'pei nasa v'kashras. They would only sign if it was kosher. V'avichol psulim de'alma da'anusim psula eidim z'ketanim. V'dino shtar she'eidim chosin al nechul eidim z'nas v'kashras. And here's what I said before. Maybe I should be more careful with my lashon. Maybe I should even get myself more space. Maybe that would help. Hang on myself. Always kesef, please, but kesef. What's Reb Chaim saying here? And I think this is what you have to say for Reb Chaim, that he doesn't mean the shtar is made randomly that it's kosher. No. What he means is, and I think it is correct here, is that there's a chazakah that Adam was signing the shtar, signing the kashers. A chazakah, you wouldn't be a zayif. There's a chazakah behind all these things. This chazakah would not be considered enough for milti mamon normally, but once there's a chazakah that Edom are signing in a shtar is kosher, then they're testifying that they're kosher. Once the chazakah that the signatures aren't forged, the signatures are testifying that they're not forged. And really, the just like Drisha v'Akira is to check if it's kosher, but by shtar, we assume that it's kashrus, it's made on its own kashrus, we don't need Drisha v'Akira. Likewise here, we don't need Drisha v'Chakira, so it's much more straightforward. I agree. Let's just see. Give me another try. What is the Grat saying? That what's the principle? The principle is that by Eidos Baal Peh, we question and investigate its kashrus. And we need to question and investigate its kashrus and decide it's okay before we go ahead. By Eidos Bishtar, we accept the testimony of the Eidim that everything's kosher. We accept the testimony of the Shtar that everything's kosher. Now, if there would be no chazaka that it's kosher, then maybe the shtar wouldn't even be telling us it's kosher. Meaning, if it turned out that people randomly signed pieces of paper without thinking twice, then we would say the shtar's not even claiming it's kosher. Okay, we need at least a chazaka the shtar claims it's kosher. But Eidim Baal Peh also claim they're kosher. When I go up and I test my bezin, obviously I'm claiming it's kosher. We don't accept my claim, we investigate it. By a shtar, we accept the shtar's claim that it's kosher. That part of the chiddush of shtar. And what's the big part of the chiddush of shtar? Is that it's circular. Because we can only accept their claim if they're kosher. They're only kosher if we accept their claim. By a regular bezdin, it's no problem. We know they're kosher because bezdin investigated them. And now the bezdin investigated them. They're kosher. We accept their word. Here it's a bit circular, but that's the chiddush of shtar. The principle is that... No way I can put this. I apologize for flip-flopping, zigzagging. We all know what I'm trying to say here. I don't have to fit it in the row, or the column, technically, with everything else. For Reb Chaim, what's going on in Reish Lakish? According to the graph, that the principle in Ksubos is that for Eidos Baal Peh, we don't assume it's kosher. Rather, Bezdin has to check, and that's Nefer Dusum of Bezdin. Until Nefer Dusum of Bezdin is no king shade. It's not Eidos. By Eidos Bishtar, that's maybe the Chiddush of Shtar. How do we know this? We know this because it's a Chiddush of Shtar. By Eidos Bishtar, no. We accept the implied testimony of the Eidei Hashtar that the Eidus is kosher. Okay, that's why you don't need Drisha Hakira. Because the Shtar, we accept the implied testimony that it's made on itself that it is kosher. And then...
This is a tremendous chiddush.
Tremendous.
And Reb Chaim doesn't see...
Reb Chaim doesn't think it's a chiddush. This is the first line of Reb Chaim. Until he hasn't made a condition yet. He just told you it's pashut.
I must admit that I got brought down. I didn't finish until the end. But he doesn't seem to be concerned with the question of what the marker for this...
Interestingly, he is not worried about what the mucker is. The Bnei Yeshua is worried about a mucker. He's not worried about a mucker. He could easily have said what the Bnei Yeshua said. I mean, he knew Sefer Yirmiyah. Right? I would say he knew the Haftorah, but he knew Sefer Yirmiyah and it wouldn't have been in the Haftorah.
He wouldn't have said against the
what?
Wouldn't have said because against the
Maybe not. But I'll suggest the mucker in a moment. And therefore, it's Pashut. One second. Obvious. Give me half a second. Right, I would say since Chazaka that people don't forge Staros, and here I also think it would help him to have a Chazaka behind him. Therefore, the Shtar is made on itself that it's not Mzuyaf, and therefore Midoraisa, you don't need Kiyum Staros. That's how Reb Chaim would learn this in his Kiddush. Now, let's just see where Reb Chaim's Kiddush come from.
Wait, Chazaka, you put it, or Reb Chaim said that?
Someone pointed out, Reb Chaim implies. He threw in Chazaka, they made him host on all Shtar and Kenasa Bekashras.
And that's why it's...
So, why does he say... Now, here, it's not the same. Here, he's not. He's talking about whether Edom or Kosher or Pasul Gavras. Not whether it's forged or not. But he didn't just say, it's made on itself that Edom or Kosher. He says, because Chazaka, they signed their Kosher... I mean, it's Chazak that whoever signs implying that he's kosher, therefore it's Eidos. So I'd say here, since it's Chazak that it's not forged, therefore it's Eidos. I'm adding in very little. That depends on that question.
And the other thing is that...
Which I haven't gotten to yet.
If Reb Chaim assumes that the Rambam is going according to those who are showing that he gave us, and the Malamor and all those guys, that it's talking about a Shtar Pinyan. And they're talking about Das HaMizchayim here. So the Shtar, it might be that the Shtar is not the Eidus of the Eidim. The Eidim are only made that it's a Shtar. And then the Shtar is the Das HaMizchayim. So therefore, that doesn't need Rishon HaKadosh.
Okay,
that's what I meant by two
steps. I always thought about that as a tantalizing possibility. That's not what Chaim sounds like, and that's not the way the Rav says it over either. It's an interesting possibility, but he's saying that really Shtar is always from Das Baldin, and really the Eidim are just setting up the Das Baldin, and Das Baldin doesn't need Jewish Hakira.
Right?
Yeah, okay, so let's give it a second. Let me go back for a second, and ask this question, like, what really is going on here? What's the nature of this? Is this an umdana that people don't forge? Or is this a fundamental chiddush of the nature of shtar, which we still want to explain a little more, which I will try to explain a little more. So, first of all, like, what does this apply to? Like, when do we say idem achzul shtar mishnechri yidusam bezin dami? In the Gemara, it means two things: one, they can't be chozer magid, nothing to do with kashrus directly; two, arsukya. Midoraisa, you don't need kiyum. That's all it says in the Gemara. But we do find in many Rishonim, that's all it says in the Gemara, you can leave it at that. We find in many, many Rishonim that they expand this notion. For example, I mentioned the Tosfos and Gittin, and that's where Chaim's coming off. Let's start with Rishonim, right? The Tosfos and Gittin, now this is in the middle of a very, very intricate discussion, I apologize. Etc. Okay, I apologize. If you just start reading Tosfos in there, the odds are very slim that you know what he's talking about. Here's the following question: if you have Pasul Edom signed on a Shtar, like first you have a Pasul Edom signed on a Shtar, and then a Kasher Edom, and two Kasher Edom, right, or some other combination. So should you say it's okay because of Kasher Edom? What would you think to say? It's okay or not? You have the guy's cousin, And then to, you know, upstanding normal people, what would you think to say? Really? What about the rule of? Mako, step up. Nim to Echman Kavar Puzzle, right? So it says, no problem. You assume that they weren't made it together. Only the two kosher guys signed. Then there was some empty space, and the cousins signed just to fill in the empty space, or they say for kavod, or etc. I mean, you assume they didn't really testify together, and therefore they're not puzzle. So Tosa says, why don't we have to check if they testify together or not? Like it says in Makos by Edith Balpeh, right? We ask them, Lemechse Asison, O La Sude Asison, etc. Tosa says, no, Rabbi Yatam, the Shani Shtar, Deinu Achsum, Nasu Mishnech, Yusum, Vezin, Dami. No, Shtar is automatically kosher. Here, not talking about Ziyuf. The chashash is nimtze echmei karv pasul. We're not sure if it's nimtze echmei karv pasul, if they're mitzdari to pasul eight and all became pasul or not. The answer is we assume it's kosher because nasik mishnechri do some bestin. Right? We assume it's kosher. And this is like a general assumption that it is kosher. Now, what does he mean by that? Why do we assume it's kosher? Why do we assume it's kosher? Right? Not all these struggling work out so well. So maybe what he means is that because in a shtar, no one would ever sign with the karv or pasul because, you know, they're very careful not to do bad things at a shtar, and everyone knows the halachas of karav apostle, etc. That's possible. Or it's just a little funny. Like, mehechi tesi to extend it to a chash of karav apostle. Give me a second, Aaron. So I also put here the Shut Ramban. I should have actually just said read the whole Shut Ramban. It's not so long. But what does he quote here from the Rabbeinu Hananel? A shtar, this is based on the Gemara in the beginning of the 4th of Sanhedrin. You're not sure if muktam or mu'uchar. The rule is shtar echov, ha mu'ucharim sheirim, va muktamim psulim. Right? If the date is earlier than the loan, it's possible. If the date is later than the loan, it is kosher. What if, you know, the date is off, you know, I don't know, the date turns out to be on Shabbos, and so you're sure it wasn't then, and they just made a mistake or something, and you say, it must have been, they just got the date wrong, and so, but you have no idea if they're right too early a day, too late a day. We assume it's kosher. Why do we assume it's kosher? Says the Rock. After all, why not say Yad Bol Shal Tachtona? Why not say Motzim Echel Avaraya? If I want to sue you, I assume it's kosher. Why are Suffolk Shtaros, not Suffolk if you have a Shtar, Suffolk the Shtar is kosher. As long as you have kiyam, which you need with your opponent, it's good enough. And the chashina there means, and it's kosher. Why? Because it says in Gittin. That if you want a pasul shtar, you have to bring a raya. A shtar is kosher. There's no psulim in a shtar unless you can prove it. Because we assume every shtar is kosher. So that's Rabbeinu Hananel saying is a very general rule. We assume every shtar is kosher. We assume that even if it has the wrong date, it has a date that's too late, not a date that's too early, and it's still kosher. And the context of this Shut Ramban is if we're not sure if the Edom were Krovim or not at the time. We're not sure if the Edom were related to me at the time. Someone said there was his brother-in-law at the time, and someone said he wasn't his brother-in-law at the time. So he says, and this is more out of the Gemara Ksuvos, we assume the Edom are Ksherim because it's a shtar. And this really comes, just give me one last second, from the Gemara Ksuvos a little later in the Yud Tes Amud Beis. This is a very complicated sugya, we'll just read on the pshat level. The Gemara Ksuvos says that two people are signed on the shtar. Okay, well, this is actually taking a step further. Let's see what are the proofs for Reb Chaim. What's Reb Chaim saying? This is not just that we happen to think there's some reason no one forged a shtar because Milstead read Leguye. This is the principle in shtaris. Okay, the principle in shtaris might need to have some svara backing it up. Like, it might be anything we think is reasonable we assume is true. But anything that seems reasonable to us, all else being equal, is true. Let's assume that people do the right thing till proven otherwise. What are the proofs? So one is from the expansion of the principle. Where do we see the expansion of the principle? That Tosfos in Gittin Yud Ches says that if it's a suffix Seiruf Karov Opasel is kosher. We're not sure if the Karov Opasel intended to be in Star for now. We assume it's kosher. Why? Because Aiden, if someone's not Christian, we do some best and dummy. It really sounds like there's just a principle. He doesn't explain. He doesn't say because it's likely, etc. You could always say, he means because we have some strong umdana. That's not the way he says it. And the Shut Ramban, the Shane Raf, who says, any suffix soul is kosher until proven otherwise because of this principle. And one of his examples is suffix, before the part I copied is suffix krovim, or here it is such as suffix mukta. Right? So, we see, why are they expanding this? Like, why are they so sure that any psul on a shtar is automatically kosher until proven otherwise? We assume all shtars are kshayrim 100%. Why do they assume shtars are kshayrim 100%? So you could say, no, it's just an expansion of the idea that everyone's careful not to do sheker in a shtar, and therefore we have very strong umdanah. But it sounds like, no, because there's a formal principle, right? You could take it as just, you know, a psychological, we extrapolate the psychological insight. No, we are so sure that, just like we're so sure no one would ever forge because they're afraid of being caught, we're sure no one would ever sign a shtar if they're a karov because they're afraid of looking bad. And we're sure no one would ever sign a shtar together with a karov apostle because they're afraid, because they know this halach and they're afraid of looking bad. We're sure that no one ever signed a shtar with a bad date, etc., etc. But then that's a big assumption. Or you could just say, no, it's an application of a fundamental principle. Obviously, it seems preferable to assume that it's an application of a fundamental principle. Again, a few Rishonim say this. You know, it's not just some obscure Rishonim. You don't have to say it. It's not in the Gemara. But the fact that the Rishonim expanded so much seems to imply that it's a fundamental principle. And to go further, the Gemara assumes you have some base. What does it say? There are two, eight of them are signed in a shtar, and they died. Right? So they can't say anything else. Two others, Bo and Ashokri, Omri, Yadanik, Shav, Yadamu, we know this is really their signature. It's a good star. Avala, Nusmayik, Tanim, Hayyub, Tula, Yidisayim. But they were puzzled. Right? Either they were lying and they were a Nusim, someone held a gun to their head, or they were puzzled. So, what's the rule? The Gemara says, Harayel, Nevanim. But, Imish, Adim, Shav, Yadamu, they're Nevanim to the Pesha Asar. That's not interest us now. The two Adam say, we're Mekayim the Shtar, but we know it's puzzle. Okay, so Pesha Asar and Pesha Yitzur, they never been on the Shtar. Here's a more interesting case. If you have proof that this is authentic signatures, or that you can compare it to similar signatures from elsewhere, Mishtar Shekhar Lu Iro, who's the Bez, Ein Elin Amadim. Okay, if you have a Shtar Mekoyim, and then two Adam come and say it's puzzle, then this star is good. Who might be in me? Star Ma'alya, my tray of train in who? What do you mean? This is a tray of tray. The Gemara calls this a tray of tray. Two Adim versus two Adim. Here's fascinating. Tell me what the rule would be in Adis Balpeh. If two Adim, Shu and Adi came and said that I owe Morty 10,000 shekels. And then Jake and Svi came and said that they're psulim. What's the halacha? Is that tray tray? What's the halacha, anyone? They're puzzled. They say, oh, Morty, 10,000 shekel. Jake and Svi say they're puzzled. We believe Jake and Svi, they're puzzled. That's not tray tray. You can't be made on your own kashrus. That's not tray tray. There are two Adam say they're puzzled. They can't say they're kashrus. They're bali duffer on that. And they're puzzled. That's puzzled. That we believe Jake and Svi against them. Two Adam come and say, these Adam are gazlanim. We believe these two Adam. These Adam are gazlanim. We throw them out. In Adim's Balpeh, the Adim don't count as two Adim to defend themselves. But son, in this case of Shtar, we call it Trey or Trey. Two Adim come and say, these guys were Psulim, they were Gazlanim. And these Adim implied they were kosher. And we call that a Trey or Trey. Now, all the Rishonim wonder why that's a Trey or Trey. And there are many other ways to explain this Gemara, but in the Pashuk Shat of this Gemara, right? Shat of the Gemara. Suvos, Daf Yud Tesam Beis, says that if there's two Adim Chasumim Al Hashtar, and there's Beis Adim Omrim Shahayu Psulim, what does Mark call it? Trey Trey. Why is that a trey of trey? Why isn't it just a puzzle star? Because two Edom said they were a puzzle. Why is that a trey of trey? It's very strange. So again, there are other ways to explain this Gemara. Mostly, the other ways to explain this Gemara saying that, saying that, well, there's a difference between if you're testifying by what you are now versus testifying what you used to be. The difference is if you're alive, you're dead. If you're dead, you're allowed to testify on yourself because you're not nogea anymore. There are ways to answer it, but, you know, that wouldn't be true by Edus Bal Peh. By Edus Bal Peh, if two Edom give testimony and two Edom say they're puzzle, then they're puzzle. So why is it trade or trade? Why do they count? Do the first Edom count as trey on their own kashrus, which normally is not allowed. Normally, you don't count as trey on your own kashrus.
They're not, the shtar is what I need. It's not that they're
exactly. So you could give, there are other answers. There are other answers. If you just look at all the proportion there, you will find many other answers. But, Alpi Grach, you could say the Grach himself doesn't say this. I think in the Chibur he doesn't discuss this. But the Rav does move him. Alpi the Grach, you say very Pashut. Because that's part of the Chiddush of Shtar. There's a special Chiddush of Shtar that it's not just two people in their own personal business. No, the Shtar becomes a special Chetzer Shel Eidos that is made on itself through Gzeiras HaKasuv. The shtar, the idea the shtar is made on its own kashrus, normally, of course you can't be made on your own kashrus. That's ridiculous. I can't be made on my own kashrus. Two Edom say, I'm kosher, and I and my friends say, two Edom say, I'm apostle, I and my friends say, I'm kosher. It doesn't help. I can't be made on my own kashrus. That's part of the kashrus of shtar. This is the finish of shtar that it's made on its own kashrus. Not that it's like regular Edom who are saying they're kosher, because that wouldn't help. Regular Edom can't say they're kosher. Part of the Chiddush Shtar is that it's considered a Chetzer Shel Eidos on its own kashrus.
Lots of the Gemara, like how you explain it, that's just a chazaka, like a fundamental chazaka in Shtar that is kosher. The lashon of trade with trade is a very, they, which still would be a trade with trade.
No, that's Rechaim's point, that it's not just a chazaka.
The
chazaka is what makes it imply it's kashrus. But then it's made on its kashrus. That's what makes it trey trey. This is one of the big rites for Reb Chaim. We see a shtar is made on its own kashrus.
But what part is, who's being made on the shtar?
There are two Edom signed on the shtar. Normally, two Edom al peh can't be made on their own kashrus. That's against all the rules. For one, because it's circular, two, because they're baldover and they're nogea b'davar, etc. But in a shtar, the two Edom signed on the shtar are not just two regular people Edom. These are Edus, they become an Edus Shtar. It's still these two Edom. Yes, who are the Edom? It's still these two Edom. It's not like an Edus without Edom. But they're not Edom Bal Peh. They're Edom Bishtar. And Edom Bishtar are not just the regular people. Edom Bishtar are a new Chetz of Edus Shtar that is made on its own kashrus. And why is an Edus Shtar allowed to be made on itself, even though regular people, as long as they're individuals, are not allowed to be made on themselves? That's part of the Chiddush of Shtar, and I just want a minute to get to that, and we're not going to be able to finish everything.
Maybe.
Oh, we'll finish most of it.
For the two of the Tosfos and Gittin and the Shulchan Aruch, maybe we can understand what I'm saying. The Edom that sign a Shtar, not like the Edom that comes to Bezim. Aiden that come to Bezdin know, they can say what they say, but they're going to be nechkar anyway, so the truth will be verified, fleshed out through this process. But when they sign, for some reason, the Aiden have to know that they have such a tremendous responsibility to check all the things, that, like the mashgichei kashrut of the shtar. And therefore,
you could say it's just a very strong umdana without chidush, if you want. Fair enough. Okay, now, here I just want to point out one thing that I didn't put on the course. Okay, let me just point out the very famous question. All the Rishonim ask a very famous question. The Gemara says in two places, Mipiyam v'lom mipi ksavam. So Drasha, Mipiyam v'lom mipi ksavam. Rashi quotes it on Chumash, 2 weeks ago as Parsha, although what Rashi says is not found in Shas. What are the two examples of Mipiyam v'lom mipi ksavam? A, in Yevamos, if I testify what I saw written in my notebook and forgot, that's puzzle, because it's mipi ksavam and not Mipiyam. Because I'm only telling you what I read in my diary. I don't actually know anything. B, in Gittin Ayin Aleph, if a mute person comes to Bezdin and hands in his testimony in writing, that's puzzle, because Mipiyam v'lo mipi ksavam. What?
Not everybody agrees to that.
Everyone agrees to that. Everyone agrees to that.
It's a mute permit.
That's what I said.
Okay.
I can't say something and then you ask a counselor that not everyone agrees to something else. That's not fair. Rashi says, on Chumash, Lo yichtivu edusan v'yishlichu lebezdin. They can't write their testimony in a piece of paper and send it to Bezdin. If you have lom piksavam, seems to be the pashup shah. Everyone asks the famous question. The Ketzos actually put in brackets, summarized this. How's a shtar kosher? Isn't a shtar piksavam? That's the whole point of a shtar. The whole point of a shtar is that they're writing their edus in a piece of paper and sending it to Bezdin. So, how is a shtar kosher? Now, I'm not going to list the answers the same way as the Ketzos. How about shtar versus the psul of mipik savam? So, there are a few possible answers. One possible answer is based on the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam didn't say this to deal with shtar. Rabbeinu Tam is a chiddush. He says, Rashi's wrong. You're allowed to write your edus on a piece of paper and send it to Beis Din. It's not true. It says, the Gemara says a mute person can't write his edus and hand it to the Dayanim. No, a mute person can't because he doesn't have potential to talk. But as long as you have potential to talk, you can send it in writing. What's the rule that says as long as you have potential, it's good enough? Kalaroy lebilang bilamak hevesba. Right, we see this many years of halacha, not only in Bilas Menachos, that sometimes when you require something, the pihem, it just means you require the potential to do that. So says Rabbi Tam, it never says you can't have edus v'chsav. It says you can't have an elaine give edus because he doesn't have potential to talk. It says I can't testify what I see in my diary, but it doesn't say I can't send my diary to Beis Din. Edus v'chsav is okay. So one shitas Rabbi Tam that edus v'chsav is kosher. As long as he could speak. Meaning, what can't I do? A guy who can't speak, an Elaim, can't do Edus B'Chsav. You have to have the ability to speak theoretically. And in Yevamos, I can't leave my Edus B'Chsav at home and then tell Beis Din what it said in my Edus B'Chsav. Okay, that's ABP8. But it never said you can't have Edus B'Chsav. According to this, you could say, why is the Shtar okay? Because Edus B'Chsav is fine. What's wrong with Edus B'Chsav? Edus B'Chsav is a fine thing. Okay, how will they be doors for Choka? They just pick out, we'll figure it out, I don't know. Okay, that's one possibility. Another possibility, the famous sheet of the Rambam. What's the famous sheet of the Rambam? The Eidus Shtar is only Midrabanan. Eidus Shtar is Pasol Min HaTorah Bekasher Midrabanan. Why did the Rabbanan invent a kashrus of Eidus Shtar? Shalom to all dolls play love, and after all, I would be reluctant to lend someone money because I couldn't prove they owed me. Even if I lend in front of a lot of Edom, I can't necessarily keep track of them all being available to testify. So therefore, it's a takanid rabbanan, shalom to all dolls, bifnei love, and not to slam the door in the face of potential borrowers, so that lenders will be willing to lend and will be able to have a proof. Okay, so maybe it's only midrabbanan. However, these are minority shitas, and my time kind of through it, even the rabbans. Not so simple. What do most Rishonim say? Most Rishonim say they don't say it in this word. You're not going to find them saying it in this word. Most Rishonim say, no, Shtar is different. Shtar is special. Of course, Edus Bechsav is possible. That's Edus Bechsav. If you want regular Edus Bechsav, of course that's possible. But a Shtar is not regular Edus Bechsav. A Shtar is a Kiddush of Shtar. And the Chiddush of Shtar is a different track than regular Edus. Already you see where Reb Chaim's coming from. Now, you don't then have to go to Reb Chaim, but already you see where Reb Chaim's coming from. Mainly Shtar is not regular Edus, because Edus of Sav would be puzzled over to everyone about Rebbeinu Tam and the Rambam. Edus of Sav is puzzled, but Shtar is a different concept. Shtar is different from Edus Bechsav. Now, of course, the Rishonim just have to explain, hold up, if Shtar is different from Edus Bechsav, what makes something a Shtar and what makes it Edus Bechsav? Not in Lavdus. Just practically. How do we know what's an Edus Bechsav that's possible? Meaning everyone agrees with Rashi. Edom can't send a letter to Beis Din with their Edus. That's Edus Bechsav that's possible. But a Shtar is kosher. How do we know what's a Shtar and what's Edus Bechsav? And here there are a few different shitas in the Rishonim. Although there's a mainstream shita, Tosfos has one daya in the Tosfos and Ksubas Daf Chaf. So, what defines a shtar? So, one day, I'll just give three mainstream opinions. Dea Achas in Tosfos and Ksubos Daf Chaf. I never know if the Tosfos and Ksubas Daf Chaf are a Beis or a Chaf are an Aleph. If it starts on Chaf and Aleph, but this one is on Chaf and Beis, what do you call it? It's an interesting question. You know? Like you would say it's like Ksubas Daf Chaf and Beis, that's where it is. But then you want to say it's Ksubas Daf Chaf and Beis Dibur Maskel. What? Dibur Maskel, Chaf and Aleph? Okay, I'm not sure. But. So, okay, fair enough. So then I should call it Chaf and Aleph. Okay? Anyway, who says Siva Kitikon Shtaros? Okay, he doesn't explain what he means, but what he's trying to say is this. If I just, like, scribble some notes, that's Eidus Shebichsav. If I just send a letter saying, you know, if I send a letter saying, you know, I saw X, Y, and Z happen, then that's not, that's Eidus Shebichsav. If I write Ketikon Shtaros, if I write in the form of Lashon of a Shtar, then that makes it a Shtar. Tosfos doesn't say exactly like, how do you know what's Ketikon Shtaros, right? How do you know when it's Ketikon Shtaros? What kind of Lashon do you need to make it Ketikon Shtaros? Is not 100% clear. And you sort of wonder. He doesn't say exactly, how do we know exactly what Lashon is Ketikon Shtaros? If I read in my diary, that's not Ketikon Shtaros. But how do we know what's Ketikon Shtaros? And what's just informing someone of something? Is it a matter of formal Lashon? Okay, not 100% clear. Another opinion is the Rif.
Maybe that's why we write on the bottom of all these Shtaros that don't have to get
eaten. Okay, says the Rif in Yevamos. He says, I'll tell you the answer. The answer is, it depends who it's given to. Depends who it's given to. Says, if it's given to the Baldover, that's a Shtar. If it's held on to by the Eidim till they're ready to send it to Beis Din, that's Eidus Bechsav. That's one definition of a shtar. The definition of a shtar is something that's given to the party, not something that's given to Beis Din. And that's because the Gemara Yevamos is discussing the possibility of the aid writing it down and keeping it until Beis Din is curious and has questions. It says, no, the aid can't keep it and send it to Beis Din. Why? Because that's Eidus Bechsav, that's puzzle. Yeah, because then he didn't give it to the Baldover. But if you give it to the Baldover, or they weren't getting it, can an Elaine come and write it and hand it to Beis Din? No. If the aid gives it to Beis Din, that's how good is Eidus Bechsav this puzzle. The aid gives it to the Baldover, says, here's your shtar, now you have your proof to carry in your pocket. That's a chalosh shtar. The chiddush of shtar is, like in Yirmiyah, the chiddush of shtar is not another way for Beis Din to hear from the Eidim. It's a puzzle way for Beis Din to hear from the Eidim to Ksav. Beis Din has to hear directly from the Eidim. But a raya you can give to a Baldover. So says the Rif in Yevamos, he says, Mesira le Baldover. That's what makes it a shtar and not a Eidus Bechsav. Eidus Bechsav you tell to Beis Din. A shtar you give to the Baldover to have proof in his pocket. However, most Rishonim say differently, and the first day in Tosfos, right? First day, Tosfos and Ksubos, and the Baal HaMor, and the Ramban in a few places. The Ramban says the Rif also meant this. He just meant, also you have to give it to Baldover. The Rif also meant this. And I would say most Rishonim, they say it in a different way. Tosfos says, Ksiva Midas Shnehem. Or the Baal HaMor says, Ksiva Midas Maschayim. Ksiva Midas Hamaschayim. That's the Yesod for them. What's the difference between a shtar and Eidus Bechsav? Eidus Bechsav is the initiative of the Eidim. If the Eidim decide to testify, they have to testify Baal Peh, not Bechsav. If the Eidim decide to send a letter to Beis Din, that's puzzle. If Beis Din decides to ask the Eidim for a letter, that's puzzle. If a different fellow decides to ask the Eidim to write down their testimony, that's puzzle. However, if the one who's losing out, the one who is committing himself, right? The one who the Eidus is against, the Mischayev, tells the Eidim, write it for me. That's a different story. He has the right to authorize a shtar, meaning the Baldover, not the Baldover gaining. Here he meant the Baldover who's gaining, right? The Baldover, you know, who's And Rith means if you give it to Malta Rugain. No, Malta Rugain has no right to make a star. If I lend you money, and then I tell two guys, you saw me lend him money, write me a star, that's puzzle, that's Mavik Sabam. Because who am I? I have no bailus on the star, but it's your money. You have the bailus to say write a star against me. If the guy who the star is against, the Mischayev, tells them to write a star, then that's not a psul of Eidus Bechsav, Mipik Sabam, that's a special chetz of star. And that really makes a lot of sense. After all, and the regular rules of Eidus, what happens to Eidus normally work? People go against me. In Eidus, where people go against me, they have to go against me and follow all the procedures and come to Bezdin, and Baal Peh, direct, etc. But if I myself want to create a star against me, I have all bailus to create, make myself owe whatever I want. I can also make myself owe an Eidus Kilo. I can authorize creation of the star, Das Mischayev, and the Baal Mor has a famous line. It's a famous line of the Baal Mor. What's the famous line of the Baal Mor? Right there, in your vamos? Says the Baal Mor, Mipik Sabam is pasul, but Mipik Sabo is kosher. That's the Baal Mor's line. He says, yeah, Mipik won't pick Sabam. The Edom want to testify, and the guy who's getting the money wants it to testify, and Bezdin wants it to testify, and my grandmother wants it to testify. Mipik Sabam. But if the guy who's giving the money wants them to testify, the guy who has bailus over this money wants them to testify against him, then that's Mipik Sabo. It's not them testifying against him. He wants to create a star against himself. If you want to create a star against him, why would I want to create a star against myself? Because obviously it's worth it. That way you lend me money. It's part of the business. If I want to, I can create this theft of Aegis against myself. It's not this unfair thing that people make magical Aegis that works against me. No, I can decide to authorize, not magical, but special chetzal aegis against me. That's part of my rights. That if the way to get my business deals to authorize the special aegis against me, I can be mischayev to it, and I can authorize the creation of this aegis that transcends the normal rules of aegis. The Ramban says the Rif also holds that. The Rif just said it has to be written midas mischayev and handed over to the marviyah, to the other guy. But the Rif wasn't disagreeing with this. Tosfos Taki, in one opinion, was disagreeing with it. He was being much more liberal. But the Pashas Rov Rishonim, most days in Tosos, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Baal Mor, the Ramban in many, many places. The Rif also, according to the Ramban, says the Rif also means this, says it's all about Das Mischayev. And that makes sense, because, why should we create this uniquely powerful thing against me? Except that I wanted to. If I want to, then I have the right to. Now, there's a lot more to say before Rav Chaim really becomes very, very clear to us, before it becomes very intuitive why he's right. But already, you start to see where Chaim is coming from. A star, if you just looked at a normal rule, should be worthless even before we question anything. It's Mipik Sabam. If you are looking at it as normal Eidus, it should never get off the ground of a cloud. Rather, through the Das Mischayev, you have the ability to create this exception to the normal rules of Eidus called star, this new Chetz with special power to be Eidus when it's written and not oral, which already is a special power. The chlal, that special power, is the power to be kosher. How do we know it's kosher? If it doesn't go into Bezdin, how do we know it's kosher? The answer is, part of the chiddush of shtar, by definition almost, is that it has to be made that it is kosher. Otherwise, the whole chiddush wouldn't work. And don't tell me it's not a chiddush. Of course it's chiddush. Rabbi Natan could get away with saying it's not a chiddush. The Rambam maybe could get away with saying it's not a chiddush. Rambam also admits a chiddush, just a Rabbanan chiddush. Right? And then for the Rabbanan, you... Okay. Rabbi Natan say, no, it's Mipik Sabam is okay. Rambam say, Mid Rabbanan, Mipik Sabam is okay. Although Rav Chaim thinks he agrees with the Chiddush of Shtar. We'll get to that. Okay, I want to add a few more rayas. I think we did most of what was on the Makoros sheet, actually. But most of it, not all. I want to add a few more rayas, Amir Tashem, next time. And I'm sorry, I didn't prepare the Makoros yet. So, I'm sorry for keeping you too late. It was just very exciting. It's still very exciting, but what can we do? We're leaving with Metach. We won't be able to sleep all Shabbos. But I'll send out more Makoros and Mirza Hashem later. Meanwhile, certainly, we're going to segue at some point into Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, which is sort of the next place to go from here. So definitely feel free to catch up on these Makoros or to just go on in Gemara Rashi Tosfos until I send out the new Makoros.